don't ignore the things that keep you up at night. I think a lot of people would say, like, don't ignore your dreams, but this is like the opposite of dreams for me, the way I think about it. Like, the things that keep you up at night, and I encourage people not ignore those. In my experience, I just don't think they go away. I just think that they get sadder over time. They just become regrets. And so pay attention to those things and do something about them. Welcome to Starve the Doubts. I'm your host, Jared Easley, and today our guest is Kevin Finn. Kevin is involved with HirePixels. It's a company that has a number of opportunities, businesses within that family, if you will, Buzzsprout being one of them, which is a popular podcasting hosting platform. Another company is Tick, Donor Tools, and StreamCare, and so hopefully we can chat about some of those. But Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for having me.
All right. So Kevin, I don't always do this, but I've been kind of bringing it back. And I like to ask somebody a question, kind of an icebreaker question of what's the best concert that you've ever been to?
Okay. That is a timely question. I just got back from, I have three children, two boys, age 11 and 9. And we just took a road trip up to Charlotte to see Metallica. Oh. My sons are a couple of rockers. The youngest one plays the drums. The older one is electric guitar and they love Metallica. So. It was a bit of a risk, but it paid off. So, and wasn't too bad of an influence on them, and we had a great time.
Good. You know, that's one of those bands I've always thought would be fun to see, and I just haven't done it yet. So.
Oh, they are amazing. Like, I couldn't hear for 2 days after.
Well, that's awesome that you got a chance to catch them now, because you don't know. Maybe that's right. Not an option later on.
How much longer they're going to be playing.
Yeah.
Funny, the show is supposed to start at 7. They don't actually come out on stage till like 10 or something.
Yeah, I figured that.
Usually goes to bed around 8:30 the latest. And so their closing song was Sandman, and I looked over and my youngest son was asleep. It's like the loudest experience I've ever been a part of, and he had fallen asleep in his chair.
Yeah, you can't fall asleep during Sandman. That's like, I know. It's Sandman. Okay. Anyway, so you live in the Jacksonville area, so you did a road trip up to Charlotte. Is that what happened?
That's right. Yeah, 6-hour drive.
That's not too bad. Good deal.
Definitely worth it.
Well, one of the things that fascinates me about you, Kevin, is that you're a man of many hats, or you give that appearance anyway, right or wrong. And I've had the pleasure of meeting your business partner, Tom, and I'm kind of curious how you and Tom first connected.
Sure. So I connected with Tom. I was still in college. He's a few years older than I am. He'd started a business here in Jacksonville. I was at University of Florida in Gainesville. Mm-hmm. Just a little over an hour drive away, and we met in Ocala. And we happened to be at the same camp one weekend. And he was telling me about his software business, and I was telling him that I was studying advertising. And he gave me the opportunity to do some freelance work for him while I was in college, make a little bit of extra money. And so after college, that freelance work led to an interview, which led to a job, which started this relationship. And so I worked for him for the first 6 years of my career. Things we were doing, custom web development, like marketing work and building software for companies, custom web work. And I'd never really stretched my legs in the advertising space. So I wanted to take some time and try that out. So I left my position with Tom's company, went down to Miami and tried advertising for a couple of years. But Tom and I had become good friends. We stayed in contact, and both of us were talking about the idea of going into business, like building our own software products. And so we kept talking, came up with this idea to do a time tracking software, which was a problem that we struggled with when we were doing web work, custom web work. And I was seeing that the advertising industry struggled with this too. How do we track time efficiently towards a goal? There were no great like SaaS apps or online software to do this at the time. Companies were using Excel spreadsheets. They were using Post-it notes. They were using, like QuickBooks had this really clunky way to track time. And so we decided we'd take on that problem. So I left my job in Miami, and things in the custom web development world were slowing down quite a bit. Mm-hmm. We partnered up and we launched Tick, which is this time tracking product still available to this day. But that was our first venture into this business, which is now called HirePixels. And HirePixels is a software company, and we've got multiple products. So Tick was the first that we launched under that name.
How did you know? I mean, because it's a great idea, but you know, a lot of people have great ideas. How do you know to validate something before you say, okay, now we're going to really put a lot of resources and time and energy into something that may or may not happen?
Yeah, well, there's different schools of thought on it. I mean, a lot of people will talk about MVP, which is like minimal viable product or something like that. Like the idea that let's just create the smallest version of that.
Right.
That solves this problem, put it out in the market and see if we can get a few people to pay for it. And as a few people pay for it, we'll build on it. We'll invest more. We follow that a little bit. I mean, we kind of started kind of before a lot of people were talking about these ideas. And so with Tick, I think we had a lot of benefit of just timing. Like Basecamp is a company that does online project management, and they had launched a few years before we launched Tick. We used their product. We liked it. We liked the business model, the idea of creating software that was available online and paid for it. There was a real business model behind it. It wasn't like VC backed or all that other kind of stuff. And so we had a little bit of benefit of entering into the online software space at a time where there wasn't a ton of competition. You know, here we are 15 years later and things look very different. There's a ton of competition. So I would definitely recommend more of a vetting process, but it's not something that we had to, I don't know, we got a little bit lucky with the timing and a little bit like, hey, we're kind of young. We didn't have kids. Like if this makes it, that would be super awesome. But if it doesn't, yeah, we can always go back and get other jobs at the same time. So it's possible we launched Tick and maybe Buzzsprout too. I definitely think with Buzzsprout launched with like too many features. Like we spent too much time in the software in our own heads putting it out before the market kind of validated the idea. So my counsel today would be like approach it from an MVP standpoint. Like just put something small out there, see what feedback you get, go from there. I'm not a huge fan of like listen to everything your customers tell you, because as product makers, like that's our job is to figure out what they want, right? There's like the right. Henry Ford quote. If someone had asked Henry Ford, you know, what do they want? They'd say, you know, more horses or something. I just totally botched that comment. But, you know, oh, he said faster horses. But, you know, he saw the future and said, no, the future is the automobile, faster horses.
Okay. So but with Tick and you mentioned Buzzsprout, did you already have like a connection with someone that you could go to and say, hey, let's partner on this, or let's, you know, let's create this and have you guys test it? Or were you saying, here it is and try it? I mean, that's, I'm kind of curious how that process worked. How did you start getting clients for something that, you know, you're just starting?
Okay. Well, it's a little bit different for Tick and Buzzsprout. So let me tell you, I'll go through both. I'll just make it short.
Yeah.
So Tick, we were kind of our own customer. Like we were building a solution that we felt the pain of, and we knew there was a need. And we figured, hey, if we're having this problem, then anybody else who's doing custom web work or working in an advertising agency, they're having the same pain, right? So we knew that problem. We had a vision for how to solve it. And we felt really good that if we could just get it in front of enough people, that people are going to pay for this. This is a much better solution than what we have available today. Now, Buzzsprout was very different. So Buzzsprout, we had another product that I didn't talk about, but we were working a lot in the nonprofit space, and we built a little content management tool. A content management tool is just a system that lets people build their own websites. So think of like a Squarespace or a Wix, right, something like that. And so that product never really took off, but we had a decent pool of customers that were using that, and they were all nonprofits. So nonprofits put out a lot of content. A lot of them were churches, so they were doing, you know, Sunday morning sermons. A lot of them were, you know, trying to raise money, so they were going to conferences and giving talks and teaching and all this kind of stuff. And they wanted to be able to put that audio content online. They wanted it as a feature of our existing product. They just wanted like this enhancement to be able to upload audio. We saw it as a bigger opportunity to create a standalone tool to be able to upload your audio and distribute it online.
Right.
And so we, instead of building it as a feature, we built it as a separate product. And we put a lot of stuff in the product that, again, I don't think those customers weren't asking for it, but we recognized it as, hey, this is a podcast. They're just saying, we want to put audio online. So we said, let's get into the podcast hosting space. And that includes things like, you know, promoting your content and tracking your content. When our original set of customers that were interested weren't asking for those things, but we wanted to be a podcast host. So we put that stuff in there, even though it wasn't probably necessary for launch.
And but so with that, one, that paid off, right? Because later on, you know, that opened
up. Well, it paid off.
Right.
Yeah, quite a bit. So Buzzsprout is quite a bit old. We launched that in 2009. And it has been a great product for us, like slow, steady growth. It's helped us build our team. We've enjoyed the space quite a bit. We've got to meet great people like you and attend fun conferences like Podcast Movement. And over the past 2 or 3 years, like you've experienced just as much as we have, this space is exploding. And so Buzzsprout now consumes like 95% of our time. Like we don't have a ton of time to think about or develop much on our other products. So we're still doing everything we can with security updates and maintaining everything else. But Buzzsprout is really kind of what Higher Pixels has become the last couple of years.
Yeah. And it originally started with you and Tom, but you know, as you guys grew, you started hiring and things like that. And I've had the good fortune of meeting a number of the team from Buzzsprout. I can't speak to some of the other products, but it's like a family. It's like, it really is. It's like a team. It's like you guys show up, you guys are hanging out together. You guys are helping everybody and, you know, checking in on folks. And that's one of the things that made me really appreciate and like Buzzsprout And so I am curious about what that transition was like, saying, okay, now we, you know, we've gone from just the two of us, and now we're going to bring on some folks, and what that was there some growing pains in that, and because, you know, I can't imagine that you just, you know, had this instant family overnight. It probably took some time to figure that out.
Yeah, we had many long discussions. So Tom had already run a company, and I was one of his employees, so he didn't want. The idea of hiring people and getting an office and doing that all over again wasn't super attractive for him. So it was a bit of a journey as our products were growing more and more, and we were very limited in how much two people could do. It was a long process of figuring out, okay, if we start growing the team, what is that going to look like? How are we going to do things differently? And so one of the things that we decided early on was, if we hire employees, we don't want to treat them like employees. Like, Tom and I were very much enjoying this entrepreneurial journey and the experience. And we thought, well, this would be a neat thing to do, to be able to invite other people into that, but not just another job. So we didn't want to structure HirePixels as a company that just had a bunch of employees that came in and did their 9-to-5 and then left. We wanted people to join us on the entrepreneurial journey. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to give people more responsibility and potentially more rewards and more risk than a typical employer-employee scenario. So we came up with this idea. We call them HirePixels performance shares. It's kind of a mouthful, but performance shares are kind of like private stock in the company. And that's part of your compensation plan. So anyone we hire will have a base salary, and they'll also have a certain number of performance shares. Mm-hmm. Performance shares are just tied to the revenues of the company. So it's not a profit share, it's a revenue share. So that way that, you know, anybody on the team, we don't have to, if Tom and I are going to go on a trip or buy something for the office or something, it's not like no one's impacted negatively by that. It's just they get to, if the company makes more money, they make more money. If the company makes less money, they make less money. And so they're in that journey with us. So that way, every
idea, a little more skin in the game.
Yeah. Everything, like, we're all in this together from a financial standpoint, and we're all in it together in terms of just the company culture. Like, we want ideas and opinions, and it doesn't mean that we vote on everything and majority rules. It's not like that. Like, but there still are clear heads of the company and people who are responsible for decisions. But there is a higher sense of ownership just from the way that compensation is structured. And that permeates our culture, and we try our best to build our culture in that direction. So,
Kevin, you guys went through a little bit of a rebrand a few years ago, and I want to talk about that. There's a number of folks that, you know, have this one idea, and then they said, okay, I need to adjust this. But HirePixels wasn't always the name, right? You guys decided to transition to that. So I'm curious how you made that decision and what that process was like for you guys.
Right. So we built, the original name of the company was Molehill. The idea being that we were building small software. So like the mountain out of a molehill analogy, we were the molehill. We were the small solution in competing against all these big other software companies out there. We built Tick, we built Buzzsprout, and then we had this idea to build this product called StreamCare, which is a totally different space. And it's like medical billing and physician dispensing software. And we had found a partner in doing that. His name is Marshall Brown. And we built the software, and he was running that company. At some point, I guess, 3, 4, 5 years ago, time flies, we decided, let's bring this all together. Like, let's merge the team. Let's all get under one roof. Let's have one company culture. Let's all wear the same t-shirts. We were just having fun working with everyone, but it felt like two separate companies, like the StreamCare side and then all the software side. Mm-hmm. And so when we did that, that's when we came up with the name HirePixels. And we dropped Molehill, and we stopped talking about each product like it was its own company. And we talked about HirePixels as being its own thing. HirePixels, the idea that it was a product, it was an important product. The culture, the environment, the experience of working here, the way that we do compensation, the way that we do performance reviews, what our office was going to look like. We were going to do that together, and we're going to be intentional about making that great for everyone, regardless of which product you worked on.
Yeah, and even though your solutions were unique and specific and different.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we certainly have experts in the office. Like, there are StreamCare experts, there are podcasting experts, there are time tracking experts, and people who focus more on those products. But, you know, around the lunch table, we're one group. If we all go out, you know, for a happy hour or something, we're one group. Christmas party, one group. So
cool. And so now you've mentioned the growth of Buzzsprout has grown so much that it's actually taken up a lot more resources and time. And even in your own allocation of what you're focused on with the overall things that are happening to HirePixels. So let's talk about that transition and kind of what are some things that are on your mind as you see this continuing to, you know, it's been the wild, wild west, and it's kind of opening up now. What do you see, and what's on your mind as this is happening?
Well, the podcasting space has been a crazy journey the last couple of years. So we started and are still huge fans of independent podcasters. That's our core focus. Mm-hmm. But as the industry's growing, bigger companies are coming in, more money is pouring into the industry. They are not as interested, again, from my vantage, not as interested in supporting the independent podcasters as they are.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. I mean, and it makes sense, right? Like there's not a ton of money from a corporate perspective in independent podcasters.
Sure.
As much as there is, you know, ad dollars and revenue opportunities around celebrity podcasting or original content or, you know, subscriptions like on the consumer side versus independent podcasters, which are generally and normally freely consumed and put out for free on the internet.
Right.
So that's what I think about a lot. I think about how do we continue to serve and provide opportunities for independent podcasters and how do we protect them at the same time? Give them the same opportunities to be able to compete side by side. Like now it's not just my small show sitting next to, you know, somebody else, the state over small show. It's my show sitting next to Conan O'Brien when I log into Apple Podcasts.
Right.
You know, and so how do we give them opportunities to promote their content, to get their stuff out there, to connect with their audience? How do we give them not only promotion tools, but tools to track how they're doing, to make adjustments? How do we keep it all affordable? How do we keep it easy? How do we help them with sound quality? Because now I'm listening, you know, to a really highly produced show and maybe the next episode up is, you know, my show, which I record in my garage and I've got an AC running next to me. And all of a sudden somebody doesn't want to listen to that anymore. It used to sound fine, but now it doesn't because I just came from something that sounds significantly better. And so we're trying to do a lot of education, a lot of just connecting with our customer base, providing the best tools we can to help them promote their episodes, supporting them, encouraging them. It's not all about getting, you know, thousands and thousands of downloads for every episode. Sometimes it's just, you know, connecting with your 100 and then us just reminding them like, that's important. You're making an impact. And if you're having fun and people are getting value out of it, like that's why you started, right? Yeah, it is. So like, right. don't feel bad about an episode's numbers were down or I'm not getting all the ad dollars that, you know, so-and-so is getting on their podcast. So that's what we do a lot.
I noticed that in that independent podcasting space, at least the last several years have been a synergistic and collaborative spirit for the most part. Now, you and I have different viewpoints from different things. And so we see some other situations that develop that not everybody else sees. But you did post something recently that caught my attention. It was talking about, you know, there are some hosting companies that for whatever reason, they might make it more difficult for an independent podcaster to transition from one company to another. And I was wondering if you could just speak to that for a little bit and what you'd like to see versus, you know, what some things are going on currently.
Sure. So there are, one of the things that's great about podcast hosting is there's a lot of competition in the space and it makes us all better. It's a bit of a commodity product, like the idea of hosting itself. We all kind of do the same core thing. And that is we take audio files, we make them available on the internet. And we do it through the creation of an RSS feed. We differentiate with all these little ancillary nice to have services. So Buzzsprout is all about making it very easy and we'd love to educate and help people. We've got great customer support. That's our differentiator. And every host has their differentiators. But from time to time, somebody might decide, hey, Buzzsprout has been great for me for, you know, the first year or so, and now I want to try someone else. And so there's a pretty simple and standard process to move from one host to another. And it should be very easy. And that process is just taking your RSS feed from your current host, popping it into the new host. They will generally import all of your past episodes. And then you go back to your old host and you create what is called a 301 redirect. That means basically if anybody comes here looking for my show in the future, just tell them I moved over to here. It's kind of like if you move from one house to another, you'd file a change of address with the post office.
Got it.
It's not super difficult, but it does rely on, or it's critical that everyone in the podcast hosting space is kind of playing by the same rules and allowing this stuff to happen. And some people don't do that. And it's a hard thing to talk about because I don't like talking bad about any specific competitor. So I won't mention any names.
And that's fine.
Okay. So what some people will do is they'll say, well, you're going to have to pay us a little bit more money to do that, or you're going to have to upgrade your plan before we provide that redirect, the change of address. And that it's just, I feel like that's really, it's a poor thing to do. You should be able to move and switch from competitor to competitor and find the right product that's right for you. Like there's plenty of podcasters out there we don't need to lock people in. And so that's one thing that I'm seeing with a couple of people. They're just saying, you know, you need to pay us, or it's, that's not available on our free plan, or not available on this level. You've got to move up a level before we do that. The other thing that happens, and we see this more commonly, is that, and maybe I'm more sensitive to this because one of our differentiators is that we try to make things simple, but there's technical complexity around how to create this 301 redirect, and they push that technical complexity onto the podcaster. And so they'll write into support and they'll say, hey, I need a 301 redirect. And they'll write back with very technical instructions saying, here's how you do it. And somebody says, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to log into my web server and edit that file and do all this. Can you help me a little more? Nope. Sorry. This is how you do it. If you can't follow those instructions, then too bad for you. That also
seems unnecessary. Yeah.
It's a sticking point for me because these, you know, I'm in the hosting space. I understand, you know, part of what we have to bring to the table is good customer service. As more people come into this, and these companies do, like, to their defense, they are saying, hey, we are providing clear instructions. We are getting back to the person in a timely fashion. If they can't follow the instructions, there's nothing else we can do. And I just don't know if that's good enough.
Yeah.
You know, I know from a co-founder of Buzzsprout's perspective, it's not good. It wouldn't be good enough for me. If somebody said, I wanted to move, and we wrote back with instructions, and they said, I can't follow those instructions, we'd get on the phone with them, or we'd say, okay, we can log into your account and we'll do it for you as long as you're okay with that. Yeah, that would be great. Like, and so I want to see more of that happen in the industry. I wrote a blog post that said, like, you know, moving from one podcast host to another should be easier. And it's crazy in my mind that here we are at this stage, 2019, and people are still writing in saying, I want to come to you. I want to be your customer, but I can't get off my old host.
Where do you write your blog post at?
The Buzzsprout.com blog. Okay. Just go to buzzsprout.com/blog, or...
which I do encourage people to check out. And there's a number of those articles that I know, it sounds like you and a couple other team members. I know Travis Albritton has written ones that have been really good. And, you know, you mentioned education is something that you guys take seriously. And you guys have done a really, really good job of that, I would say, in the last, you know, year or two, just really upping your game in the content side.
Thank you.
And I find myself reading something and be like, oh, I want to share this on LinkedIn. So I'll be passing it along. And so I appreciate you guys making that a priority, and definitely agree with you on the customer service aspect. And I want to talk a little more about just you, Kevin. Like, what are some things you like to do outside of work? What do you enjoy doing? How do you relax?
Well, I mentioned I have three kids earlier. I don't know that I'd call that relaxing, but gosh, it is fun. I love being a dad. They are into sports. Two of them are big into swimming and the other one's into baseball. And I'm an assistant coach for the baseball team. Awesome. I love that. Yeah. We're in between spring and fall seasons right now. So my evenings are more free, but yeah, I love being a dad. We have my boys and I love to go fish together. So that's something that we do quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier that they're musicians and I as well play guitar. So, you know, if you stop in our house any given day, hopefully we're out fishing, we're at a sporting event, or we're, you know, you'll hear loud music coming from our house.
So is you playing guitar, is that more just for fun, or have you ever written songs or any of that?
Yeah, no, I've never written songs. I've just goofed around and played acoustic guitar and strummed chords and stuff. And so when my sons got into music, they challenge me now. Like, they're playing hard stuff and taking real music lessons. And they quickly surpassed my skills.
Yeah.
I'm learning Metallica songs for the first time in my life. Like, I grew up with that music and I wasn't really a fan, and they've converted me. So now
that's awesome. Well, and in fairness to Metallica, their music is advanced. I mean, it really is. I mean, what they do is pretty incredible from a musician standpoint. So,
yeah.
So Kevin, another thing that I know is a part of who you are, it's the fabric of Kevin Finn, if you will, is philanthropy and, you know, different things like that. And I was hoping maybe you could share a little bit about what are some things that you like to support and things that you think about outside of the business and family?
Yeah. So I mentioned earlier, this kind of interweaves with the whole story. So I mentioned earlier that I met Tom Rossi, who's my partner in the business, at a camp in Ocala. And that was a Young Life camp. It was called Southwind. Mm-hmm. And so I was interested in the Christian church and Christian ministries. And so was Tom. And that's where we met at that camp. And so that's just been a thread throughout our whole relationship. And part of when we started the business, that was the question of, I mentioned that we had this content management system that served a bunch of nonprofits, and we wanted to continue that in whatever we built and whatever form and fashion we came about. And it's one of the reasons that Buzzsprout is built to be as as friendly and easy as possible. Because when churches produced content, they would have volunteers come in on the weekend and try to get that stuff online.
Right.
And so it wasn't a system that you could sit down and train somebody for a couple of hours on how to do. Somebody had to be able to walk in cold off the street and say, hey, I'm here to help out. What can I do? And they say, hey, we've got all these CDs sitting over here. Can you figure out how to upload them to our podcast? And if that wasn't easy, then that volunteer couldn't serve. And so all of our products and how we structured the company and built everything has kind of come from those similar mentalities, those worldviews, and Tom and I's Christian beliefs. Yeah. And so, and we built StreamCare, and we built Marshall Brown. I mentioned earlier, he was the one running that business. Marshall, again, agrees and is in line and has the same core beliefs that we do. And so I don't know how to talk about it. It's just part of life, and it's part of what we built, and I think has informed our culture in a lot of different ways.
Well, I brought it up because I knew you've had involvement with Young Life, and that Young Life is something that you and I have in common. I was very involved with that as a teenager and you know, early 20s, and you know, I actually worked at one of the other camps, not Southwind, but at Windy Gap. And as an intern, I was there for a year. And, you know, so that culture and that, just the way they run their camp and their organization, that definitely has influenced me. And now in business, there's a number of times when I've kind of looked back on, well, what did I learn from that experience through Young Life that applies or that could apply to this. And So just as you mentioned, you know, there's been some things that you've kind of taken from that have kind of just naturally flowed into the business side of what you do. It's the same on my end. Like, right. Just things from humor and entertainment and things, whether it's a podcast or it's an event or whatever it is we're doing. So I found that interesting that you and I both, you know, shared that background.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of neat that people know about that.
Yeah, we love the organization. We're still highly involved. We have a new office now that we've set up in Jacksonville, and we had some extra space. So the area director, I think his title is like Northeast Jacksonville or Regional Director of Young Life now, shares office space with us.
No kidding. Okay. Yeah. With Higher Pixels.
With Higher Pixels, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, that's great.
We just took 9 of our employees out to a camp out in Colorado a couple months ago and spent the weekend out there. And
awesome.
Yeah, for any of your listeners, if you're interested in an organization that does Christian ministry outreach, specifically to middle school and high schoolers, but they also have ministries that touch all other demographics, Young Life is a fantastic organization.
So was that like wilderness, or what did you guys do?
We went out to Frontier.
Frontier Ranch. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. They had a weekend. It's not a very PC name for the weekend. They call it Man Camp. Around this idea where you can go and up in the mountains and smoke cigars and, you know, throw hatchets and do manly stuff, but at the same time, unplug and recharge a little bit.
It's been years since I've been to Frontier Ranch. So I next man camp, let me know, Kevin. I might try to sneak in one of the bags of the Higher Pixels crew and go on up there with you.
For sure.
That's cool. So we're going to start to wrap up here, Kevin. I'm grateful for the time. And then a couple questions. The first one is, where can people connect with you online if they want to reach out to you or keep in touch with what's going on?
Sure. I don't do a ton on social media, but I do have a Twitter account that I'll check from time to time. And so that's at KFinn, KFINN. Of course, buzzsprout.com. You can sign up for an account right into our support team. And I monitor that all the time, and they forward anything to my attention. And of course, we have a Facebook group that I'm pretty active in as well. And the Podcast Movement Facebook group, I'm there all the time.
Excellent. And I let the truth be told, I am a family member of Buzzsprout. I use Buzzsprout and I absolutely love it and appreciate you guys. So Kevin, we always close out with final thoughts.
Yeah. Final thoughts. So I would say, let me try this. How about like, don't ignore the things that keep you up at night. You know, it's kind of like I think a lot of people would say like, don't ignore your dreams, but this is like the opposite of dreams for me, the way I think about it. Like the things that keep you up at night, I would not, and I encourage people not ignore those. And again, in my experience, I just don't think they go away. I just think that they get sadder over time. They just become regrets. And so pay attention to those things and do something about them.
Do something about them. Well said. Kevin, I appreciate all that you do and wish you guys the absolute best and am supporting you all the way. And you got an open invite. Anytime you want to come back on, share what's on your mind, let's do it.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Right. Thanks, Kevin.
Take care, Jared.